So it's 4:30, so we start. Hello and welcome to our session about deploying a managed office in complex scenarios with Config Manager. Thanks for taking the time coming to our session. I hope you're enjoying Ignite up until now and during the next 45 minutes when we talk about how we deployed and how we manage the Office client, which is Office 365 Pro Plus, in a complex to very complex scenario. My name is Martin Notnagel. I am from Microsoft Consulting Services, based back in Berlin, Germany. I'm a senior consultant focusing on deployment projects. And with me is Steve.
Thank you, Martin, and good afternoon, everybody. My name is Steve Osgood, and I'm a technical consultant for Royal Dutch Shell based in the UK. Thank you for taking time to attend our session. I hope you're gaining some insight into how you can use PowerShell scripts to deploy and manage your Office 365 Pro Plus installation.
Thanks, Steve. So, as you might be able to tell from the title, our objectives today are to walk you through how we did an Office deployment at Shell, very diverse, complex scenario, how we are managing Office 365 Pro Plus after the initial deployment, for more than 150,000 seats. But this session is not only about telling you how we did it and how we are running the show at Shell, but we would also like to give you some ideas how you can tackle the different challenges that you have when we are talking about complex scenarios. We would like to provide you and give you the links to the necessary building blocks so that you can take what we have done and what we will show you in the next 40 minutes, and mix and match what matches for your organization and implement it in your organization in order to accelerate your deployment. So everything we will show, all the scripts, all the building blocks, are available online publicly, and we will point it out throughout our session for you to reuse them after our session, so tomorrow and beyond. The session is recorded. The slide deck will be up online, including all the scripts, all the links. So you don't have to take pictures. Of course you can, but there's no need to. It will be all included in the slide deck and in the recording. So we basically have two sessions, one about deploying, one about managing. First of all, we will talk about how we deploy Office at Shell.
Thank you, Martin. Okay, so first things first, we've got our disclaimer. Everybody has to read that first before we can continue. Okay, so some more information on Shell. Some of you may have heard of us before, but we're a global group of energy and petrochemical companies. We have a presence in more than 70 countries. And worldwide, we employ 93,000 full-time employees. So just to give you an idea of the scale of what we're talking about here. And of course, we don't all work in offices. We don't all have fast connections. So we have people scattered everywhere. So how does that translate into IT infrastructure? So we have a large Windows 7 environment, over 150,000 seats on a diverse range of hardware. Office 2010 is the predominant office suite in our environment. We use over 20 different language packs and over 2,000 add-ins and applications. And we manage that with the Configuration Manager 2012 R2. We have some large sites with distribution points, but we also have some satellite sites without.
So when we as Microsoft Services came into the project, it wasn't the greenfield approach which makes it easy to deploy Office. So as Steve has shown you, we are not only talking about people sitting in office, we are talking about people being on exploration sites, people working in refineries in remote countries with small bandwidth connections. We are talking about people being on vessels, being on oil rigs. So how can we take this into account when we are talking about an initial deployment office? The Pro Plus client is pretty similar to the MSI client. a 1 gigabyte set of source files, which we must bring down to each and every client to install install the software. So the network or the different network scenarios give us a challenge when we try to push down the client to all devices at the same time. So of course, we wanted to pre-stage the content. Using Config Manager, it's pretty common to pre-stage content with Config Manager on the clients, but and we have to support the 20 languages. So every device has one common language on it, which is English, but then the other 19 languages, everybody at Shell is free to download and install an additional language in the 2010 world, which then translates into our 365 Pro Plus world. So we had 19 additional languages that we must support. And we also had different multiple application sets. So we had people with the core package, which doesn't include access, which doesn't include publisher. But people were requesting additional applications and got them in the past. So we were talking about multiple application sets. When we are looking at deploying Pro Plus, the deployment is controlled by a configuration XML, which is kind of a static file. So when we combine multiple application sets, so core package with access, core package with publisher, core package with access and publisher, and multiply it by the number of languages that we have support, we would end up with several hundreds of configuration files, which are very specific to a certain configuration per client. So this is something we couldn't do. So we don't want to play around or juggle around with hundreds of configuration files. So only the combination of all languages would be 63 different configuration XMLs. And we also don't want to pre-stage 20 different language packs to all our clients. So if we take the 1 gigabyte core package and put 20 language packs on top, we end up with a 5 gigabyte size package, pushing it down to all clients, and then only having a small group picking one or two out of the 20 languages is kind of a waste of the network bandwidth. Do you have a question? The question is why we decided to go to ClickRun. It was a decision made by Shell to go into the cloud world, adopting the Office 365 service. Pro Plus was one of the first workloads that we adopted. So at the same time, covering or dealing with the network scenarios, a lot of languages, a lot of application sets. On the other hand side, we don't want to push down 20 languages to all clients. We don't want to deal with hundreds of configuration XMLs. So we came up with a solution, which is a kind of a wrapper script, which we used to deploy to a client together with the source files using Configuration Manager to pre-cache or pre-stage the Office source files with the English language pack onto all clients. So we can pre-stage this content over weeks to all, or push out over weeks to all clients so that they can slowly download the package, put it on disk, which is pretty common to do with Configuration Manager, which includes a wrapper script. So we are not only, or we are not directly firing off the setup.exe with a hard-coded configuration XML. We are spinning up a PowerShell script, which then captures the state of the machine, because we can't predict in which state the machine is, or which language packs are on, or which applications are on. So the script queries the machine, what is on it, and creates dynamically configuration XML, which captures the state, then get rid of the previous Office client. And then we came up with the idea of basically doing two passes during the install process. The first pass runs from the local CCM cache, installing the core package of Office with the desired applications and the English language pack. And then in the second pass, because we queried the machine before what the user already had, we install on top the additional language packs. And we will now switch over to our first demo, so Steve will walk you through the actual script which can do this.
Thank you, Martin. This demo is an example of a script which will dynamically create two configuration XML files. The first is based on the Office 2010 applications that are installed in the machine, and the second will be based on the language packs that are installed in the machine. It will then run the two installation commands, first installing the Office applications from the Configuration Manager cache, and then installing the language pack files from a distribution point. So as you can see here, this is our demo machine. We have Office 2010 installed. We have Microsoft Access also installed, but we don't have Publisher installed. You can also see in our CCM cache folder that we have the Office source files, but only with the English language pack, and the PowerShell scripts that we're going to be demonstrating now. And of course, the machine also has a German language pack installed, so hopefully our script will find that. Okay, so I won't run through the nuts and bolts of the script. Let's just get it going and okay, so at this stage, it's just importing all of the PowerShell scripts that we had in the CCM cache folder, and it's also removing any configuration XML files that it may have had in there already. Okay, so at this point, it's interrogating the machine, and as you can see, it's included Access, but it's also discovered that we didn't have Publisher in the first place. At this point, it has picked up the language pack, but trust me, we do something with that a bit later. We also now will insert the EULA information, the channel information, and we're forcing apps to shut down during the install as well. We're also excluding the legacy OneDrive consumer client, the Groove client. So as you can see now, what we're doing is we're stripping the German language pack that is found and importing that into a different configuration XML file. So we can see here that it's now telling us that our first run configuration XML file has got Publisher and Groove excluded, has all of the EULA and channel information, but it's also showing you that it's installing from a local cache. And as you can see here, this is our language pack install. This is the second configuration XML, and this is installing from a distribution point that we have set up. So you can see the last part of the script now. We will be removing previous Office installs. So we'll be removing Office 2010 from the machine using an off scrub script. First pass will be from the Configuration Manager cache. So that's the name of our first config XML file. And then the second one, that's our second config XML file. And just in case you don't believe me, there they are in the folder. That concludes our first demo. So just to reiterate, the two-pass approach was developed to enable you to pre-cache only the source files for the applications, giving you a considerable smaller source file to distribute to every machine via Configuration Manager, by not including language packs a user does not require. Also giving you the simplicity of only having one deployment to manage.
Thanks, Steve. It will. We will cover this in a second. So what we wanted to demonstrate with this script is a common question from our customers is, especially in scenarios where you're not deploying only one language or not only one application set, how can I manage multiple configuration XMLs? And our answer is don't manage multiple configuration XML. Use these scripts to to create them dynamically. So if you've seen the package created in the configuration manager, pre-state on a machine doesn't include a configuration XML at all. It contains a set of scripts, which then generates what we need dynamically. It's far easier to have one package that you push out globally and that you have to maintain than, for example, having 5, 4, 6 different packages. So everything we use in this script is publicly available. So if you go to AKMS Office Scripts, you will be on our GitHub script site, which hosts a set of scripts targeted at IT pros dealing with Office Pro Plus deployments. And we have everything available. I will come to the questions in a second. So the base for our wrapper install is in the deploy Office Click to Run folder. Then we used a script which is called generate ODT configuration XML, which queries the machine it is run on, and it can get out the information from Office 2007, 2010, 2013, or 2016, MSI as well as Click to Run, and generate a configuration XML which presents the current state of the machine. And then we used another script, edit configuration file, to manipulate the file. So we stripped out one language out of one file, we added the accept EULA statement, we added the statements around how we want to configure the updates, and there's no hard coding in it, so we are not directly manipulating the XML, we are just using the scripts in there, functions to add or remove certain aspects of the configuration XML. So this way we can tailor them to our requirements. If you want to, you can use another script, dynamic update source, to insert the source path based on where you are or which organization or unit or Active Directory site you're in, but you don't have to. And then during the actual install pass, you can run the Office, remove Office Click to Run first. So for example, if a device was part of your pilot group, maybe you want to scrub the existing Click to Run on it to make sure that they now get the final production ready package. And you can run the remove previous Office installed script, which will basically take care of any version of Office which is on a machine and just remove it. So you can be sure after this is run, you have a clean machine. And then you can kick off the install click to run script, which then validates that all the source files are actually there, validates the configuration XML, and then kicks off the install. So these are the building blocks that we tie together to generate this wrapper script, which queries the machine, generates the necessary configuration XMLs on the fly, tailors them to our need, and then executes the whole install process, removing stuff, and then installing the new Office. And everything, as I said, is available online. It's a living project, so you can see some updates we made just 18 hours ago. It's a GitHub project, so feel free to reuse it. And also feel free to contribute to it. So if you add features, please put them in, let them pull into our repository to make them available for our other customers also going looking into deploying Office. So this is kind of how we deploy Office. It's not too specific to the configuration manager, so it could be done with the current version, can be done with previous versions, and also you can utilize third-party tools. So nearly every tool which is able to run a script with administrative rights on a machine can leverage this approach with slight adjustments to deploy it in your environment. So the second part will be around how to manage Office. In a project, the initial deployment is always the first step, the first milestone, the major milestone we are going to reach, but it is a one-off. So after you did your initial deployment, the Office client is, depending on the life cycle of your hardware, often living for 3, 4, or 5 years, where you have to manage the Office client across the life cycle of the device. So there's a need to strike a balance, which we also had to strike at Shell.
Thank you, Martin. So we'll now take a look at the what an enterprise may have to take into consideration when implementing an update process. On the one side, you'll want to have an agile approach, but you have to balance this against a level of predictability. So let's break this down further. On the side of agility, you have security. So you would always like to be agile enough to take the latest build of Office because it's likely to be the most secure one. You also want to be agile enough to roll back Office if you find there are some issues with the latest build. I'm sure you won't. And also, there's a feature that you'd like to incorporate, which is available in the latest build. You may be able, with an agile approach, you'll be able to get that in your environment quicker. However, as you know, things don't move very fast in enterprises, so predictability. So IT departments, they like to control from where and when you receive your updates. You have readiness to consider. So we have user readiness. So you have new features that users may need training to use before they even can receive the update. And likewise, your support infrastructure may not be able to support the new feature, so they may need training as well. And you also have line of business app owners, which will of course need to be thorough. Your line of business apps will need to be thoroughly tested against any new build of Office.
Thanks, Steve. So with Office ClickTran 365 Pro Plus, we introduced a different servicing model compared to the MSI world and compared to the 2013 release. So with Office 365 Pro Plus, you have the notion of channels. There was a session earlier today, which is Breakout BRK 2003, which kind of explained when the feature goes into which channel. Important to take away is we have different channels. One is called deferred channel. This is the most relevant for enterprises. So this channel will receive feature updates 3 times a year. Between this point in time, the feature state is stable. It just receives security updates, so you can stay your client is still secure. But the feature changes happen only every 4 months. And for this channel, there's also kind of a preview, what we call first release for deferred channel. So 4 months ahead, we make a version available with the same feature set, which then can be used by, for example, application owners to validate if line of business applications are working correctly with this feature state of Office. So as Steve has explained, in a large organization, you have to find a balance between getting the latest features to the users as quickly as possible and at the same time providing stability and predictability. So at Shell, as we do with the most of our customers, we have often a very small group running current channel. They always want the latest stuff which is available, which we are targeting at about 50. Then we have a kind of a standing pilot group which is working with the first release version, day in, day out, testing their applications and just using it. And the vast majority of the landscape is running the deferred channel, which is the most stable, rock stable version of Office where I want to have my production on. And they receive feature updates every 4 months. So compared to previous releases of Office, when I have 2 or 3 channels in my environment, the life cycle of my Office client changes a bit. So in the past, I did the initial deployment. So for example, deferred channel release, let's call it 1,000 with a specified feature set. And once this is deployed, I push out security updates. So I update all my clients to version 1,001, feature state is the same. But given that we now have 2 channels, it might be that this device is then assigned to a user, which is an application owner. They want to test their line of business application against the upcoming features of Office. So they want to switch and to be part of the standing pilot group. So we have to deploy FRDC on it and kind of fast forward them in time to feature state 2000 so they are able to check and validate these features. So we install version 2000 on the machine. Of course, these are also serviced throughout, so they also receive security updates every month, so we must make sure that we can also update these clients. And as I said, a device may be in use for 3, 4, 5 years, so maybe this employee at some point in time is no longer an application owner, so they don't want to be part of the pilot group anymore. They want to go back into the production build. I missed one. So they leave the pilot and go down from DC, from FRDC back to deferred channel. And then we also have to downgrade their version. So they are not running feature build 2000 anymore. They go back to version 1000. The one I skipped is the rollback. So we should be able, in a large enterprise, if something goes wrong, to go back at one, at least one release so that we unblock any issues with line of business applications. So, and this all comes down to the IT department to support this. So, on my to-do list then is, I'm now responsible to make multiple channels with multiple languages available in my environment every month. I must create a way that users can join the standing pilot, be updated to this feature state. As always, I have to make sure that my clients are in secure state, so deploy security updates every month. I must allow a rollback. So if somebody is testing the latest FRDC and an issue crops up, I want to roll back them at least one release to make sure or to identify, is this related to the Office release or is this related to the line of business application? And then, of course, enable users to leave the standing pilot going back to my production build. So more work coming to IT department. There are a lot of don'ts. So as an IT pro in an organization, I have enough stuff on my table every day, so I don't want to add on top manual processes. Every month new releases come out, but I don't want to juggle with build numbers every month. So I don't want to look up in TechNet the build numbers every month and then type them into your system to assign a different builds to different people. I don't want this. And I really don't want to invent new tools and new processes. I want to leverage what I already have. So I already have PowerShell knowledge, and I already have Configuration Manager. So how we can tackle this challenge? It depends a bit on your environment. If you're already on Configuration Manager 1602 or newer, you're all set. Config Manager is able to deal with this. It understands how click-to-run works. It can handle the click-to-run releases. It understands the concept of the different channels. And all this is integrated into the software update point of Configuration Manager. So my Config Manager admin, who is used to deploy Windows updates through SAP, they can easily deploy now Office updates the same way. So when they used to do it in MSR world, they're already set to do it in the click-to-run world. But if you're running Configuration Manager 2012 or older, or a third-party application or third-party solution, then there is no real integration of click-to-run into this solution. So the new builds and the new releases every month are treated as regular applications or packages. So they don't integrate into the update mechanisms. We don't have an out-of-the-box support for the data compression. It's just not existing. It has no idea about the channels. So for these scenarios, we have to add a bit of logic to be able to manage the different channels, allow people to switch between the channels, update the channels, roll back the channels, and all without doing it every month manually. So we created an automated solution. We partnered with the GitHub project that I mentioned before. So one of the guys is in the audience, Russ. We partnered with him and we created a set of scripts which takes away a lot of effort and which is available to everybody of you, which allows us to, with one command line, download multiple channels, multiple languages, and if you want to, also multiple bitnesses, so 64 and 32-bit every month, which can be easily automated to download all the stuff that I need into my environment, into an on-premises location. We have a set of scripts which then can import all this into Configuration Manager, create the necessary packages, or update the packages. So initial creation month one, going on from there, we can just update the package with the latest releases. It can generate programs which you can deploy to collections which allow users, or if I don't want to ask the user, I just enforce the switch of a client between the channels. I can enforce a rollback. And of course, I can execute an update. And all this will always run from the nearest distribution point. So again, no hard coding of which backend is used, no hard coding of which build numbers I came from or want to go to. And of course, these scripts also allow you to easily distribute the content across your distribution points once imported into Configuration Manager, and then deploy it. So the whole process every month, if you want to, can be fully automated by having a set of scripts which run automatically on your schedule. You can do it partially on your own to be in full control, or just automate everything. And this is part of the next demo, right after I unlocked my machine again. Let's switch into my Configuration Manager test lab. So this is a regular Windows server running Configuration Manager. And on disk, I have this set of PowerShell scripts that I mentioned before. So what I want to do every month, or have to do every month, is to download the different languages, different channels into my environment to be able to import them into Configuration Manager and then distribute to all distribution points, and then allow all clients to get what they need from the distribution point. So I don't want to push it out to all the clients, because this would be a 1 gigabyte set of source files, so this doesn't make sense. I will enable clients to pull down what they need based on the channel they are currently running. So first step, it's a level 300 session, so we at least have to show some code. We have to import the PowerShell scripts, of course. And then I have this PowerShell script, and I can easily use autocomplete to go through, which then downloads whatever I need. So I can select multiple channels at the same time. So for example, deferred channel and first release for deferred channel. When I'm using the Office deployment tool for this, I already need two configuration XMLs, one for the one channel, one for the other. With this script, I can do it in one pass. I can specify where I want to download this stuff to, like C Office source files. I can specify all the languages. Let's go with German, English, and Japanese. I can specify the bitness. So downloading both versions, 32-bit, 64-bit, or only one of them. I don't want to specify a version. I can, and I pull down a specific version. If I leave it out, it will download the latest version. What if, don't confirm, no debug. We also have, so we have additional more switches, but this, we do the trick to download everything. We also can specify, for example, if we want to do some housekeeping, so we can specify number of releases we want to keep. So you can easily run every month and set a switch to, for example, keep the last three releases, so it will automatically clean up your repository of releases, so it isn't growing over time. So for example, always keep the last three releases per channel in your repository. So once we have done this, we then can set up our Configuration Manager environment. So loading up next set of scripts, and then I will not carry out all the programs because it takes time. So we can easily create an package in Configuration Manager, which includes, again, specific channels, specific bitnesses. We can specify which site code we want to use, if we want to move the files or copy the files, the name of the package that we create, So we then create a package within Configuration Manager. And then, of course, we have to create the different programs we need. And it's pretty easy. So again, we have a script for this. Create Configuration Manager Office Channel Change Program, very handsome. We just specify for which channels we want to have these programs and the site code, then fire it off. And it would create the necessary programs with the necessary scripts, which we then can deploy to a collection to make it available to clients or push to clients, which then will switch to the specific channel. And of course, to make it easy every month, we have a script also included or function included, update CM Office package. So every month after we downloaded all this, we can easily keep this package up to date. So when we switch over to the Configuration Manager, we can see the packages we have created. It includes four programs. So I have a program because in the shell environment, we are running or supporting the deferred channel and the first release for deferred channel. So I have two programs, one switching to each of the channels, one to initiate a rollback, and one to initiate an update. And all these programs you will find down below. But during the creation of the programs, you never have to specify a build number. Even when you deploy the stuff or distribute the stuff, you never have to deal with the actual release numbers. The scripts will dynamically identify which version is the latest. The rollback will automatically identify which is the previous release I want to go to, so no hard-coded build numbers anywhere. And then we can deploy it to our clients. Let's go to one of my demo machines, demo clients. So on this machines, we have 365 Pro Plus installed with an English language pack. And it is running the version 16.0.6.7, blah, blah, blah. 6.7 is basically presenting my feature state. So this is the deferred channel machine. When I go to my software center now, I can make the option available, or for example, the user has to go through a request process to request to have the program assigned to change from wherever the client is currently into the first release deferred channel. So I can kick this off. SCCM, so Config Manager, will bring down a script onto the machine which identifies what is the current channel that is installed on the machine, what is the channel I want to go to, which in this case is first release for deferred, what is the targeted version, and then initiates first the change of the channel in the registry, and then initiates an update so the client can fast forward in time to this feature state of first release for deferred channel. So when we look into the resource monitor, we can already see that the client is now pulling down from the distribution point the necessary files to update the client to 16.069. So we are going up from a feature level perspective, which is the first release for deferred channel, which is currently available. So we are not pushing down a 1 gigabyte. We are enabling the client to pull down the stuff. This will take some time, about 10 minutes, so I don't want to waste your time looking at an Office update process. Let's switch to a machine which is already on a deferred first release for deferred channel. So this machine is already on first release for deferred channel, running the 6.9 feature state, and the last four digits give you an idea of the patch level. So we are at 27.6, which is a month old. So now I want to apply a security update. And I have this program assigned to the machine, which when I launch it again, a script starts running, identifies which channel the machine is on, identifies where these channels are located on my distribution point, what is the latest release on the distribution point, and then instructs the office client to pull down the differences between the current build and the targeted version. So we don't, again, have to push down the 1 gigabyte. And at the same time, this program to update the client isn't hard-coded to a specific channel. So I can push down this program to all of my clients, and the client will pick up the release which fits into the channel which the client is currently on. So we did all this script magic to kind of mimic the channel management, which is included in System Center or Configuration Manager 1602. This is a 2012 environment. That's why we implemented it through scripts. Of course, you can suppress the user interface, so the bar and the progress bar. So we have full control if we want to expose that we are currently applying an update, if we want to close the applications once we're done, if we want to wait for the user to close down the applications. So we have a lot of options we can set in the scripts. But I enabled it so that we have something to look at. Okay, that's it for the management of a client. So we have a few minutes left, so we have a Q&A afterwards. Let me quickly reiterate the objectives of our session. In just 40 minutes, we kind of rushed through how we can deploy Office in a complex environment, how we can manage the Office client without doing any hard coding of build numbers or configuration XMLs. This approach is actually working in a very complex scenario with 150,000 seats scattered across offices, Oryx, vessels, and all stuff. And as I said before, all this is up and running or available on GitHub and included in the slide deck for you to reuse in your environment. If you have any questions, we have the Microsoft Tech community up and running, so post your questions there. Come to our Office 365 Pro Plus booth in the expo and ask us. We are around for the rest of the week. And also, you can enter to win one of our Surface Pros, or just raise your hand and we do a Q&A here. Thanks. You first. The question is if these scripts will work with 2013. They will.
So with the client reporting on the configuration manager side, how do I determine what is installed on the local client?
So you mean from for example, create a report about how many updates already got an update?
Or which specific branch or version of Office is installed on the local machine?
So it depends on your configuration manager. So if you run a 1602, which understands the different channels, this will be exposed through the software update point and the report, so they can easily tell you which updates are already applied and not applied. With Configuration Manager 2012 and older, you can use the inventory. So the build number, for example, is part of the add remove programs report and can tell from this report which build my clients are actually running, which translates into the channel.
Okay.
Thanks. We've got a question.
Any reason we chose package model instead of the application model?
The question is why we chose the package model in SCC in Configuration Manager 2012. The reason is when I go with the application model, I can't access the files from the outside. So given that we are using the package mode, we can instruct the client to go to the distribution point and directly point them to the files on the distribution point so that they can pull out only the parts needed and not the whole package onto the client. That's why we are doing it as a package in all the versions of Configuration Manager.
Yep. Thank you. When building the source path location, what system in particular did you query to get the actual local distribution point?
So regarding the source path, if we run the scripts from the distribution point or from the CCM cache, we don't specify a source path at all, then the setup will take its own folder as the starting point. When we run stuff from the distribution point, we have scripts online which do nothing else than identifying the nearest distribution point. So you execute the script from distribution point, the script comes up, checks its own path. That's the trick, how we identify the nearest distribution point, and then pass it to the update engine.
My question is, what system did you query to get the local distribution point? Did you query like the management point on SCCM based on the IP or the boundary, and that was your first part of the source path?
No, we didn't query it as a configuration manager system. The configuration manager is executing the script on the distribution point. And so configuration manager already figured out what is the nearest distribution point. We just take this information while the script starts.
I'm sorry, I'm kind of unclear, because how would the client know what its local distribution point is unless you actually, it's getting it from somewhere?
Maybe we can take this offline, so.
Okay, yeah, no problem, thank you.
Then we can walk through the demo. Lady? The question is, how can we deal with reboots? During the uninstall and install of ProPlus, you can do it without a reboot, so that's a valid option. Else, you can leverage the task sequence in SCCM to work in a reboot in between. But then you kind of have to split the scripts. Yes, sir.
G'day. I've got two questions, one about deployment and one about managing. In deployment, when you're doing the Office Scrub utility, what do you do if you need to manage plugins that have been installed? How do you handle their removal and reinstallation and application compatibility? And then managing, adding new functionality as updates come through are all very well and good, but what happens when Microsoft decides to remove functionality that the business has become dependent on?
So to answer the first question, the script that we have shown is kind of an example. So it just removes Office. Of course, you can add logic to the script to identify if a specific add-in is on a machine, and also uninstall this add-in, install a newer version. So there's always the decision in crafting such a deployment package. Do I cram everything into one large wrapper script? So all the replacements maybe I have to do, or the updates of add-ins, of course I can include this in the wrapper script to uninstall specific versions of an add-in. So the scrubbing will only remove Office. It will leave all add-ins on the machine. Or if I create different or separate config manager packages or applications which update my add-ins. So both options are there. The off-scrub scripts only remove Office. They don't care about add-ins. They will leave it on the machine as is. If an update is needed, going from one version of Office to the next, I have to find a different way, either in the script or as a separate package. Regarding the second question about feature states, so good news, up until today, Microsoft hasn't retired any features in 365 Pro Plus. If we choose to, we will give you enough lead time to give you a heads up which features we will remove. But currently, there are no plans.
Hi. I'm sort of being forced to maintain both the MSI and the click-to-run Office package because of the way the licensing works. So we've got some multiple user devices and some single user devices, so they've decreed single users get click-to-run, multiple users get MSI because it's per device rather than per user. Will Config Manager be able to use that branch-based updating process for the MSI installed devices as well as the click-to-run devices?
It again depends on which version of Configuration Manager you're running.
We've got the latest version.
Latest version. With the latest version, it will just work because the software update point will identify that all the click-run updates are not applicable to an MSI install and vice versa. So if you assign both to a machine, it will figure out which set of updates it should install, at least if Config Manager has both in its belly. It will present the MSI updates, all the click-run updates. They are not interchangeable, and so it cannot happen that it updates an MSI install with click-run bytes.
So the MSI, is that current branch aware or not? Is that just going to be patched the way everything's always been patched?
The MSI version will be patched as it has always been patched. So we are often calling it the long-term support branch. So it's kind of the fourth branch aside from the click-to-run ones.
So I'm just trying to avoid sort of disparity between the feature set that click-to-run users experience versus the MSI users.
Regarding the feature state, there will be a gap between the features of the MSI version and the click-to-run version. So the click-to-run version will receive features over time, and so have a richer feature set than the MSI version. There's no way to prevent this from happening.
Thank you.
Thanks. Give me a moment. Everybody else, feel free to stay here and listen to our questions and answers. I don't want to hold you back going home, going to the next session, having a coffee. As I said, grab us at the booth during the next days. Thanks. So, go ahead.
I didn't notice any features in your demo regarding the newer version of System Center. It looked like you're just running packages that call many PowerShells. I didn't see how the newer version of System Center impacts your process. Could you explain that a little more? How to take advantage of version 1602 or later in this process?
So on the one hand side, we will demo this tomorrow during a mesh session. So we then work on demonstrate the current Configuration Manager integration. On the other hand side, when we talk about deployment is always to push out or push down a 1 GB install to a client. So even the new version of Configuration Manager is basically doing the same, push down a 1 GB install. Regarding updating, if you're familiar with the software update point, then it just feels as always now managing click-to-run updates. So it's pretty similar to the existing solutions for Office MSI or even Windows. But we will demo it tomorrow in the session.
Thanks. I have a second question. It's not directly related, so feel free not to answer. But what did Shell do for a deployment of this scale regarding training the users either on to be expecting this update or feature set or anything? Did they do any training? I'm just curious because it's such a large deployment.
Yeah, absolutely. If you want to come down to the stage, we've got a few of our program team members here, so they'll happily talk to you about that one.
Chris?
Once you've completed your deployment and then a user needs to provision a new application out of the suite, such as you need to add Visio or a user asks for a language that's not previously deployed, how did you handle adding those and distributing that to the users?
So when it comes to adding Visio project, we can just run a static configuration XML with Visio project in it because these are different SKUs, so different products. They don't interfere with the existing Office install. So this is pretty straightforward. Adding applications or adding language packs, you can basically adapt the same approach, like querying what is on the machine, dynamically generating your configuration XML, injecting the language pack that you need, or stripping out the exclude app statements that you need, and then rerun the install. So it's, if you have created the initial deployment once, you can take parts out of it and create the additional packages to install languages, to install additional applications. Thanks. Okay, thanks everybody.